This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. It's the first off-season show where we've all been here, first time in a month.
Yeah.
Which means that this hour show is going to fly by because there's one more mouth talking. And less content there.
And we all know who that mouth is, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I felt like both tongues were pointed at me.
It's great to have everybody here this evening. 355-NFL1. If you ever think you can get a word in edgewise, give us a shout. 355-6351. All right. Start with the Senior Bowl and go to the Super Bowl, or you just want to do the Super Bowl?
Yeah, sounds good.
Here's my question. Because the Tim Tebow conversation, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse. I'm just simply asking because we had the conversation last year. What do we know about him now, conclusively, or at least concretely, that we didn't before that game was played last week? What do you think, what do you know based on what you saw?
I think it's probably the same, and that there are a lot of questions, and I think he is where he was before that game, and that, you know, he's got a ways to go. You know, before he's viewed as being a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL.
Should his agent be calling and telling teams now, hey, we want to work out at the combine as a tight end also?
No, I don't think that's needed.
It'll just happen if it's going to happen.
I mean, he was one of the greatest college players ever, and he was very successful in college as a quarterback, and I don't see why not try him there. If it doesn't work out, then maybe down the road you could move him to another position. But, I mean, he's a great player. He is a great inspirational leader. Let him be what he is.
You never lack for being definitive. What do you think?
He has to be reconstructed. I've never seen a quarterback with more false steps than he has. He was averaging 6 to 8 false steps per pass.
Wait, 6 to 8 per pass is an enormous amount.
I mean, he never dropped back, set his feet, and then when he would look right or look left, just turn his body. He would turn his feet every time. If he was going to look right, he would move his feet. Boop, boop, boop. 3 steps to the right. If he was going to look left, boop, boop, boop. 3 more steps back the other way.
Okay.
I mean, his mechanics are horrendous. Horrendous. We spent how many years fielding calls about Byron Leftwich? Byron Leftwich is Peyton Manning compared to this guy.
Okay, so why not
He
go
has
ahead?
To be completely reconstructed. And one
from
more
a
thing.
Mechanical standpoint.
From a mechanical standpoint. Yeah. Oh, I think Byron had a stronger arm too, and I think he read defenses better. But he was not as mobile. That's the big difference in Tebow's favor. One more thing about Tebow, based on what I saw in the Senior Bowl, I would be shocked, stunned, surprised out of my mind if he agrees to throw at the combine. I see no way in heck that he will throw at the combine. The next pass he throws will be in a personal workout with his, I'm sure, to be newly hired passing mechanics guru to be the guy supervising and directing the workout.
Didn't Stafford throw last year?
He
at
threw,
the combine?
But the, yes, well,
he did.
He ran,
yeah.
He ran, he threw, and he did one other thing. And this was the thing that made him, I think, the first pick of the draft. In the interviews in the evening with the quarterbacks, they'll do a chalk talk kind of thing where they'll hit him with, you know, well, if in this down in this distance, if the defense gives you this look, you know, what do you see? What are you gonna? How are you gonna check out of it?
They want to test the passer IQ.
Exactly, his mentality for reading defenses, and Stafford put on a legendary performance. And I mean, I can remember last year being in Indianapolis and talking to some of these scouts that night when I was out in my rounds. And they were just wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you going, by the way, again this
yeah.
year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So we'll look forward to that coming up in a couple of weeks. So the thought that maybe after that performance in Mobile would be the moment to say, you know what, I'm open to moving and doing whatever you think it is that will get me into the NFL.
It hurt him. He might have lost $5 million on Saturday.
You don't think about being an X-Factor,
no,
Wildcat quarterback tight end yet?
That.
No?
No.
Oh, you're talking about $5 million.
Yeah, I don't think he hurt himself. I think it just kind of reaffirmed what a lot of people believed, and that, you know, he's not going to be a guy that you draft and expect him to be, you know, starter in year one. I think he's a guy that's going to take time, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Which means second day of the draft kind of guy, if you're looking at
what I'm trying to say is he clearly fell out of round one. I mean, you'd have to be out of your mind to draft him in round one.
And I guess we should clarify.
I don't believe that he was in round one to begin with. I really don't.
Okay.
Even though Peter King wrote that he had guys saying he'd never get by.
You know, I don't believe that.
By the way, am I right? The first round of the draft is on Thursday night this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then this is a three-day draft.
Round two and three are on Friday.
Wait, is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday,
No,
Friday,
I think it's
Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
because they're going to go to primetime Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you don't say first day of the draft
or
second day. It's
two primetime events, you know, Thursday, Friday,
That's
and then
cool.
Saturday, wrap it up.
Yeah, you wrap the whole thing up.
I like that.
It's a different approach, to be sure.
It's a smart move. I mean, it's been a long time coming. Why not do that? I mean, the draft has become, you know, a spectator sport somewhat.
There's no question.
You know, so why not make it to where it's going to garner big ratings?
All right, off the Tebow talk, because obviously we won't talk much more about him definitively until after the combine and workouts.
Did you one more thing.
Sure.
Did you watch the game on NFL Network?
No.
Did you hear what Chris Jenkins said at halftime? Oh. Chris Jenkins is much better, much more well-spoken than I would have ever thought. I mean, he's almost cerebral.
Now, Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle for the New York Jets.
Yes, very large.
Former man. Carolina Panther.
Yeah.
And so you're surprised that a defensive lineman
I have
be
never
so
heard a player
articulate.
Do an assassination. What's that?
I said you're surprised that a defensive lineman can be so articulate.
Well, you know, I mean, when they're they're 360.
I'm waiting to hear this.
When they're 360 pound defensive tackles, you know,
right.
who just spend all day long ramming their head into the guy opposite, you just don't expect it. But this guy,
right.
He was almost professorial.
And I saw the clip on YouTube. I did see him take.
Oh. It was. I have never seen a player assassination on another player.
Who did
like
he
this.
Attack? Because I didn't see it.
Yeah, he went after Tebow.
He said something like, well, he needs to play H-back. And I think the studio guy said, you mean next year in the NFL? He said, no, in the second half.
Which is why I asked the question, should they start looking at it? But obviously that's for then. We've seen a couple of different All-Star games. We had the East-West Shrine game was played down in Orlando and now the Senior Bowl. Yeah. Any players that stood out to
Brandon
you?
Brandon Graham in the Senior Bowl was everything you want.
Defensive end, Michigan.
Well, he's going to play outside linebacker in a 3-4. He's a little stumpy for a defensive end, 6-1.
Well, Elvis Dumervil.
I know.
Lamar Woodley was stumpy coming out, too.
I know, but there's your example. Lamar Woodley, when you have a player of Graham's skill, you don't want to get him in a short area and let the offensive tackle get his hands on his jersey. I mean, this is a guy you want to get out in space and feature.
Okay. Anyone else that comes to mind?
Yeah, the linebacker from Missouri, Witherspoon. The linebacker from TCU. Sorry, I forgot the name.
Okay.
Another great performance. Defensive tackle Dan Williams from Tennessee, out of sight. Alex Carrington, defensive end, pass rusher from Arkansas State. Real edge guy, if you want to go that direction. I thought Marty Gilliard
has a
poor man's DeSean Jackson. If you're looking for a punt returner, kickoff returner, slot receiver, lots of guys. Okay. I'll have to run through my head.
No worries. We've got lots of time, weeks and weeks, leading up to the draft in late April. Let's take a break. We'll return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here, News Talk Radio WOKV, Jaguars This Week. Welcome into the program, going till 7 o'clock this evening with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman. Joe Fortunato's here, though he hasn't even said hello to the audience this evening.
Hello, audience.
Okay, nice to have you with us, Joe.
Guy I think hurt himself is Cody, Mount Cody from Alabama.
Okay.
And not as a player.
He looked pretty big.
Oh, dear God. I saw a picture of him at the weigh-in, you know, with in full flower.
So it was the big.
Oh,
well, and he's never been small. I mean, this is not an instance where a guy shows up and everybody goes, oh, my God.
I've never been married to anyone that endowed.
He was that way to begin with. He was that way his whole time at Alabama. He is what he is.
So he's Andre Smith.
Well, he
part
has
two.
He has, as far as I'm concerned, he has a sign on him. It says short career.
Okay.
You know, Refrigerator Perry. I mean, just, you know, this. He's already at the stage where he's going out.
Of course, Ted Washington. Of course, he came in as 285-pound defensive
right,
end.
Right.
But, I mean, he played a long time with that great big body.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once you get the learning down, I mean, but this guy's only 6'2". I mean, he's, you know, he's really, really overweight. He has got to do a major, major tune-up before the combine.
Did he push himself out of the first round with his weigh-in?
365, 85 pounds?
Yeah, see, I don't believe he was ever in the first round.
Really?
Cody!
No, I didn't,
oh,
I didn't see
know,
it.
Jeff.
Very
know.
Limited mobility. Dominant defensive player, but I mean, he's a real box player. And with his weight concerns, which they knew that, I don't think there was a first round grade on him. If there was, I would have been surprised. I wouldn't assign a first round grade to a guy like that who's had weight problems in college.
What's he going to be like in March, April, May? What's he going to be like after he takes 4 weeks off in July and then comes to you in training camp? What are you going to get?
How was Andre Smith this year? Although he had some injuries, I don't know the season, but heavy. Did he have weight problems?
He played heavy. Yeah.
I'm looking for Mel Kiper's grade on Terrence Cody, just to kind of figure out where he fits at this.
I mean, he knocked people's eyes out, and not for the right reasons.
Well, I mean, I think the knock on him has always been is that he's a first and second down player.
Yeah.
I mean, is a first and a second down player only a first round pick?
And I
don't think so.
I didn't think he was real quick. He didn't look nearly as quick in
that
game.
No, well,
he
I mean,
did.
When you weigh 380, who's going to look quick?
He's a guy that would fit perfectly on Biggest Loser. he'd be fine.
Well, he needs to become a contestant pretty quick.
I'm surprised that Vic even knows about that show.
My wife watches it religiously. She loves it. And I'll sit and watch, and I'll get interested in, you know, because, I mean, there's some really tragic stories in there.
And some uplifting ones, too, is that people lose that weight. Real quick, just in terms of, because Terrence Knighton proved this year, what, 340 pounds,
mm-hmm.
that he can be that.
I worry about him.
How much mobility, how much more athletic is he than a guy like a Terrence Cody?
I think it's night and day. I mean, Terrence Knighton can run. From sideline to sideline, he's got pass rush ability, whereas Cody's a plugger.
Yeah.
What are you worried about, Vic?
He's got to watch his weight. That was the rap on him coming out, and Terrence is going to have to keep a close watch on that. He got bigger all season long, and
he's one of those players that when he comes back for off season workouts, the player or the coaches are going to be going, what's he going to weigh?
He's heading for one of those days in his career where the coach says, you're not fit to practice. You're not fit to start training camp. So they put him on, what do they call
that? Well, I hope not. I mean, we can't think that that's going to happen.
They did it to Casey Hampton last summer. They put him on reserved non-football injury list until you get your weight down. You know, and these guys have to watch themselves.
Did he have trouble with his weight this year?
I thought at the end of the year he was really too heavy.
Okay.
I didn't see it. I thought he was fine, but he's one of those guys, you know, that's going to have to be careful, because 340 can be 360 in a week and a half. It's just that type of body.
That's right.
I mean, he's a big body guy.
Yeah.
Biggest rear end I've ever seen.
He's
bigger than Terrence Cody.
He's really
Cody's
thick.
Big.
Really
thick. See, Terrence Cody doesn't have the. He's just kind of just big.
Cody carries it all up front.
Yeah, he's up front.
He's got an enormous belly.
Here's the thing that I think pushes Cody out. I mean, there's five or six defensive tackles, and Dominican Sue, Gerald McCoy, Dan Williams from Tennessee,
this is a good crop.
Lamar Houston from Texas. And so I'm just, for whatever it's worth, I'm just going down your buddy Mel Kiper, Loggy's draft board here.
Now, if Cody weren't playing for a national championship team, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
You're right. There's no question.
Well, according to Mel on his mock draft 1.0, Terrence Cody is not a first rounder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to his big.
Who are his Who are his defensive linemen in the first round?
Defensive tackles or defensive linemen?
All defensive linemen in the first round. He's got to have eight or nine of them.
Hold on one sec. Let me go back here.
Premium position.
I just switched. The,
I mean, this draft is loaded. This is one of the best. One of the all-time best. defensive line drafts. You know, all those guys, Sue and
Gerald McCoy.
McCoy will be a top three pick. Jared Audrick, Alex Carrington, Dan Williams. Who else you got?
The kid
there?
From Texas, Lamar Houston.
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go.
Dunlap from Florida. There's another one.
Okay, here are the defensive linemen, both tackles and ends. Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy from Oklahoma, Derek Morgan, the defensive end
from
Georgia Tech. We've got
Jason Pierre-Paul
from South Florida.
And George Selvey from South Florida. That's
he's got Carlos Dunlap, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He's got Everson Griffin from USC in his first round. Brian Price from UCLA, the defensive tackle in
his
first round. What else does he have? He has Jared Audrick from Penn State.
That's nine.
And Brandon Graham from Michigan.
That's 10 guys.
That's his first round.
That's 10 defensive linemen in the first round. And it could be – and if that happens, you'll get an even deeper run on defensive linemen. Did you mention Dan Williams?
Yes.
Okay.
And he
was dynamite. He may have risen his stock more than anybody at the Senior Bowl.
And of course, my computer is slow here. I'm going to his big board and just go down because there's probably
now,
a couple more guys.
From what I've been told from scouts is the quarterback crop is in free fall. It is really a disappointment.
And didn't we think it was going to be okay?
Yes, and when I talked to scouts in the fall, they said this is going to be a good-looking quarterback crop for the next 2 years.
No, not this year.
Next 2 years. They all told me the same thing.
Yeah, and I didn't see it.
Well, then Jake Locker didn't come out. All right, that hurt this year's crop. And the kid from Mississippi, Sneed,
Javon Sneed,
fell on his face, and that really hurt it. Now the top two guys, and of course Bradford, when he got hurt the first game of the year.
Yeah, his shoulder's going to be
that hurt
question mark.
It. But so the top two guys are Bradford and Clawson, and they're starting to wrinkle their nose on both.
What about Tony Pike? Where does he fit?
Pike, I was told by a guy who will remain anonymous that he has never seen a worse body on a quarterback ever. He has, you can count his ribs.
He's like 6'5", 6'6", 215, somewhere in that range.
And he's got a bucket butt.
Pretty narrow.
He's got praying mantis arms. And I was also told that, you know, he's not a big character guy either. He wasn't a leader. But I'll tell you what he can do. If you want to see what Pike can do, get the Illinois game. And it was in the first half. He rolled out to his left. And while he was running left, he threw a 40-yard strike down the sideline. The guy's got a big arm.
Clawson, probably number one.
They're saying that Bradford might go three and Clawson four or two, three. They're saying they're both top five guys. But a lot of scouts I'm talking to are wrinkling their nose on both guys. They say they will be horribly overdrafted.
That's the nature of the position.
That's the nature of the position.
It's early, and it's one man. It's Kuiper, but he has Terrence Cody as his fifth best defensive tackle.
Okay.
So that's
the way he looked in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, it makes sense here. So
where's Kuiper have Bradford and Clawson going?
Let me go right back here, and again, this is a very slow connection.
You know,
so it'll take
something that I think that executive NFL personnel guys I would think that are looking at is that. When and if the change in the drafting process and the rookie cap changes, wouldn't you almost want to kind of wait to draft a quarterback, which is that's the crapshoot position? Wouldn't you kind of want to say, hey, if you're in need but not really, hey, let's kind of wait until we can get this cap thing under control before we put so much money at risk on a quarterback?
And you're right. I agree with you. And also, I want to throw this out. The guy from Central Michigan, Dan LeFever.
He's got him as the fifth best quarterback.
He's got mush for an arm, and that showed at the Senior Bowl. And he'll probably – I don't know if he can afford to not throw at the combine. He's got to throw at the combine. He's got to show something. So this quarterback crop is deteriorating.
What smells quarterbacks? Give me one through five.
I'm trying.
Just take 20 minutes.
We'll get it in a commercial break.
Yeah, during the commercial break, we'll have it. We'll come back with that. And, of course, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
24 minutes left in the show. Plenty of time for you to weigh in at 355-NFL1. Before we went to the break, two questions were asked. One, where does Kuiper have the quarterbacks in the first round? He only has two. He has Sam Bradford from Oklahoma going to Washington in the fourth hole. And then he has got Jimmy Clausen from Notre Dame going to Buffalo at nine. Now, then, Loggy, you asked where does he rank the five quarterbacks, or who are his top five quarterbacks? And I think this tells you the state of the quarterbacks as much as anything. Jimmy Clausen from Notre Dame, he has one. Bradford from OU, two. Colt McCoy from Texas, who I think has no arm at all, three. Tim Tebow and Dan LeFever from Central Michigan are four and five.
Yeah, that says it all. I mean, this was supposed to be, Jevon Snead was supposed to be maybe the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Fell unbelievably on his face. He lost $10 million in this past season. Jake Locker.
If he's not even in the first round, he lost way more than that.
Oh, I agree. He was going to, they were talking about him as the first pick of the draft.
First pick of the draft, first $40 million. That was last year.
Yeah. I was just trying to be conservative.
I got you.
Now, the guy I think is really screwing up is Jake Locker. I think he should have come out. I think Jake Locker easily would have been a top five pick in this draft. He'd have been the first quarterback taken. I don't know why he's staying in. You know, all kinds of guys fell on their face this year, and it hurt this draft for quarterbacks. Darrell Clark is another guy coming off a real good junior year. Just didn't have much of a year at all, you know, in the big games as a senior, and he's fallen into the late rounds.
So they're the quarterbacks, and just to recap the defensive linemen.
I'll tell you another guy. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, go where you want.
Here's the guy, even though he had, if there's a Matt Ryan in college football today, it's Christian Ponder from Florida State. See, they were counting on him coming out, and then he got that shoulder injury, and that ended it. Decided to stay in. I guess he should because he's got a shoulder injury. You know, he couldn't work out in the postseason. So he's made the right decision. But you see, if Locker had come out, if Ponder had come out, Dennis would be a really good quarterback crop. But if you're looking for a guy who can be Matt Ryan, the next Matt Ryan, Ponder, in my opinion, is the guy. That's why this quarterback draft is going to heck.
He may have been one of the top picks.
I think he's outstanding. Absolutely. I think he's outstanding.
Here real quick are the defensive ends and defensive tackles, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. The defensive ends, Derek Morgan from Georgia Tech. Again, these are Mel Kiper's rankings. Jason Pierre-Paul from USF.
Both of those guys, by the way, will be primo Jaguars considerations candidates for the Jaguars pick.
At either 10 or 11. Carlos Dunlap from Florida is 3. Everson Griffin from USC is 4. And Brandon Graham, who Vic alluded to from Michigan, is 5. The tackles, Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, Brian Price from UCLA, Dan Williams from Tennessee, and then he has Terrence Cody at Alabama. 355-NFL-1, just proof that we have all kinds of reach on this program. We are joined now by Ron from the Florida National Guard, who we're told, and correct us if we're wrong, you're doing the flyover at the Super Bowl?
That's correct. I appreciate you guys and your show. I'm excited about the Jaguars and the season that's coming up. They're going to do some great things. But, yes, if you recall, I remember you guys talking about the flyover, at least one of the ones flown from the fighter wing at Jacksonville with the F-15. So we're going to be doing the flyover for the Super Bowl coming up Sunday. So we're excited about that.
You guys had the best two flyovers that I have ever seen at a sporting event in my life this year.
They were almost landings, for goodness sake.
Ron, kudos, man. That was awesome.
That's why I heard you guys talking about that. I said, that's all right there. You know, and we've got some great pilots out there out of Jackson International. Hey, also, we're hoping to be in the running now for the shortlist for the F-35. So hopefully by this time next year, well, within the next couple of years anyway, that we might have some F-35s, the most advanced fighters in the world. So that'd be nice for a flyover as well.
So we won't even hear them. They'll be going right by.
So Super Bowl, you guys are making the trek down there. Are you guys going to – would you take off from here and then fly down to there to do the flyover?
That's correct. We have our pilots. They'll be leaving out Sunday, so a certain time Sunday. Then they'll be flying down. And we have a detachment down around the Homestead area anyway for alert missions for air defense. So they'll be going down there and flying over a four aircraft package, and then they'll recognize the pilots on the field. That's going to be exciting.
How long will it take when they take off to get over the stadium?
Oh, from Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they'll do in a pattern down there, but it wouldn't take very long. I'm with you within conceivably, say, a half hour. Depends on, you know, what kind of traffic and where they get in a pattern. But so it wouldn't take that long.
Take me longer to get home tonight.
Yeah, right. It takes them to make it turn around. And now will you guys, will you practice this? I mean, it's the Super Bowl and everything is so well rehearsed. Will you guys do a practice flyover this week?
Probably won't do a practice like up in the area here, but they'll go in a pattern and they'll practice some of that because of the timing is sensitive, and we'll have people on the ground. We have a ground controller type person that's in contact with the pilots, and it is a timing thing, so it's really crucial because right to the last note, we want to get that flyover over there, and it's hard to do. So you've got somebody who's trying to vector them in, and the challenge is sometimes if somebody's singing a little differently from how they practice,
yep,
then that's a timing factor. You know, and it's hard to do, but we're excited about that.
How low to the ground are you allowed to go?
Well, I've heard, and it depends on as far as the stadiums and these kinds of things, you know, when they're talking about 1,000-foot ceiling and this sort of thing. But it just depends on what you've got in the area and this sort of thing. But I don't know all the technicalities of it, but that's somewhere in that area. But
it was right off the top of the scoreboard.
You know, and you guys, you're over the top, so you can't see the rush that it creates in the stadium. Any rush for you guys flying over a stadium full of people on a Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the pilots, they get really excited about that. Yeah, they can't see, you know, down there and all. But what we're able to do, and fortunately, that one flyover, we were able to take what the NFL put out on that flyover and about the excitement of it, and we were able to send it to our folks and so they could see what the fans were experiencing. And it's really an awesome thing, and it does really help out in the morale of our force as well.
It was incredible, man. Thanks for the flyovers this year. It was awesome. Absolutely incredible.
Thanks for the call, Ron. We'll be looking for the flyover on Sunday because we know you now.
Thanks. All right. Thanks. Take care now.
See you later.
I mean, when you got a flyover like that, goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about the flyover is, Vic, I know you're in the press box at mm-hmm. that time. Our booth is always open.
Right.
And so, I mean, you mm-hmm. get to feel the heat, so to speak, off of the afterburns
right?
when they hit it.
When they kick it, you do.
I never guessed that.
It generates in a wave out, and you can feel
sure
it.
That was the Jets, right?
I don't know what else it would be.
I don't think I had a rash.
Oh, dear God. 355-NFL-1. Let's take another call before we take our last break of the evening. John joins us from the South Side. Hello, John.
Gentlemen, enjoy your show. How are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
Let me just throw a quick name out, and I'll get off the air. A fellow by the name of Riley Skinner.
Wake Forest.
And asked the question that if Riley Skinner had gone to Florida and Tebow had gone to Wake Forest, what difference would it have made in those guys' careers or their seasons? I'll get off there and let you answer that. Well,
the big problem Riley Skinner has is he's only 6 foot tall. So he's like the guy from Missouri last year.
Chase Daniel.
Ended up with the Redskins.
Yeah. He's, you know,
with the Saints now.
Yeah.
Whether Riley played at Florida or USC or Wake Forest or Slippery Rock, he was going to be 6 foot tall. And that's the problem he has.
Well, how about if Tebow had gone somewhere where it wasn't so systematic and he had been coached on the mechanics for 4 years? I don't want to take it. I'm not taking anything away from Urban Meyer. Clearly, he's a good football coach. But what if somebody had tried to mold him into an NFL-caliber
This is the
player?
Thing I'm struggling
it may have
with.
Not, it may have not have helped him at all. I mean, you don't. I mean, the guy won a Heisman, was a candidate for other ones.
And they won two. There's no doubt that he was a great player.
Yeah.
But if he had gone somewhere where someone would have said, now, look, Tim, you want to play in the NFL? You got to do this, this, and
see,
this.
See, I first saw it when I first saw that he was going to have a problem. It was after at the end of his sophomore season when they played Michigan in the bowl game and he was up against Chad Henne. And you could see the difference. Here's Chad Henne. This is a built-for-the NFL pocket passer. And here's Tim Tebow, and who's a spread-off, college spread-offense guy. And you could see the ground that Tebow had to close before he could become just Henne. And that's when I realized. And, of course, he lost again. He was outplayed.
Yeah.
That's when I started to get it. You know.
Well, but Tebow's big and strong and, athletic, so you'd think that maybe he could have.
So I'm struggling to believe that Urban Meyer, who's a great football coach, an offensive genius, and that staff he has, which has turned out some really top coaches,
I
find it hard to believe that these guys didn't work with him, didn't try to fix him.
But we talked about this.
I'm sorry, I won't believe that.
But college football, only has 20 hours a week to work, which is why the spread offense has become so prominent, because it allows the coaches more of a say.
Yeah, but you got spring drills. You got all summer to work with him in casual ways. I mean, you know, I find it hard to believe that Urban Meyer said, I'm just going to let him go into the NFL the way he is. No, I'm not buying that.
355-NFL-1. Let's take our final break, come back, and talk a little bit about Sunday's Super Bowl here on Jaguars This Week.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
About 8 minutes left in the program. Now we turn our attention to Sunday's Super Bowl. 355-NFL-1 if you want to join us. Compelling matchup to you? Okay.
I think this is a great matchup. I just hope that the New Orleans Saints that I saw play the New England Patriots on Monday night show up. Because that team that played that night can't be beat.
Really?
No. There's no way. If that team shows up, they can't be beat.
Okay. Freeney's got torn ligaments in his ankle. So let's assume he doesn't play or he doesn't play well. All right? You don't have to chip with the fullback, or you don't have to chip with the tight end, help with the tight end. Now you can go help with the tight end on Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got no pass rush.
Changes
everything.
Changes the entire game. But I really believe that this is going to be a score fest. I think it's going to be back and forth and back and forth. And the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, they're playing with two rookies in the secondary. I mean, they've played that way the entire year, and Freeney and Mathis have been able to really kind of hide mm-hmm. that deficiency that they've had in the secondary. Where the Colts have been so good is that you really played to their strength. Typically, they got out to an early lead, and they were able to pass rush. If the Saints can score early, this is going to be
the Saints can
an
run.
Unbelievable game.
Saints run the ball well.
Yeah,
too.
But that's just not Sean Payton's thing. I mean, the Saints are at their best when Drew Brees is on fire.
Oh, I understand, but they're in terms of controlling the tempo.
They are.
With Pierre Thomas.
They are sixth in rushing and fourth in passing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good balance.
And the only reason I bring it up is because we know what a good running game does. It keeps Peyton Manning on the sidelines.
Yeah, and what a dummy that Greg Williams has been.
Why?
In the last two. I mean, you know, he just had to open his mouth.
Is he tipping his hand?
You know what he's trying to be? He's trying to be Buddy Ryan.
Which what he did when when
he was in Chicago.
I heard he put on
Mike
a heck
Dicko.
Of a show today.
Well, he didn't back away from the statements that he said they're going to try to hit Peyton. Man, look, you know, everybody knows that. There are just things that you just don't say.
Mm-hmm.
And you mean to tell me you've been around for that long that you don't understand that? I mean, you know what that is?
Arrogance.
Give me the attention.
Oh, yeah,
look
yeah.
at me. I'm the reason the Saints are here. It's not Sean Payton. Look at me.
Plays, not players.
Come on, Greg.
Hey, what's your opinion of Manning when he sacks himself? What is your feeling on that when he just dives at the
When he dives when he's about to get whacked. I'm okay.
Long before he's about to get whacked.
Because I know how good he is when he's playing. And I know how bad that team would be if they didn't have him. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Franco Harris stepping out of bounds at the end of his career, just prolonging it?
And see, I never liked that with Franco. But, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the best quarterback in the league this year. How can you fault him for that? The guy never gets sacked anyway. But Vic, the one thing I will say, though, is that if you watch that Jets game, he stayed in there and he took some shots. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he's got a guy coming 100 miles
coming
an hour
mm-hmm.
and he's got no clue as to where to go with the ball, which is very rare for him,
mm-hmm.
then he does that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he thinks he's got a chance, he's one of the smartest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I'm not going to knock him for hitting the turf because the guy hasn't missed a game yet.
I just struggle. Everything you say is right. I just struggle with the surrender thing.
And when I grew up and I used to watch Franco Harris run out of bounds,
mm-hmm.
it used to drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it. Never liked Franco Harris because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love John Riggins. John Riggins he's going to lower his head and take a shot just to get another foot.
Mm-hmm.
Franco, never would.
All right, now beyond the game, obviously the commissioner has a press conference on Friday, which is eagerly anticipated by members of the media.
Mm-hmm.
The owners and D. Smith, the Players Association chief, are all sort of posturing right now. How's the labor story going to unfold this week, would you suppose?
Well, the players won round one with this supplemental revenue sharing.
Right.
And they got the courts to say, you may not extinguish it. You may not discontinue it. You will continue it because it will put more money into free agency.
Explain to people what this ruling was and what it was about, because a lot of people don't know.
Well, if you discontinue your revenue sharing program, that means that the have-nots, of which the Jaguars are one, so to speak, quote-unquote have-nots, aren't going to have as much money to operate in free agency, which means that the players aren't going to have that money spent on them in free agency.
Correct.
So they wanted to make sure that that revenue sharing continued so that that revenue that would have been shared will be spent in free agency.
Right.
Now, that's the theory. You can't guarantee it's going to be spent in free agency.
Well, especially
but,
not knowing what the rules are going to be for long-term
right.
contracts.
So, I mean, it's a small victory, but it says a little bit about where the court's heart is.
Real quick, did you see
right?
Did you see that today Stephen Biscotti did sort of a season-ending press conference?
Owner of the Baltimore Ravens.
Of the Baltimore Ravens. And essentially what he said was is that there are several owners who are going to have trouble finishing above breaking even.
Oh, there's no question.
Right.
There's
okay.
no question. We
what
he's talked done, about that 2 years
right,
ago.
Right, but what he's done here is said he's given more ammunition to the players who want them to open their books.
So the gag order has ended. The
well,
gag order has been broken. The commissioner had offered, had made a gag order.
Jerry Jones got fined $100,000.
And who was the other guy? Was it?
It was Mara.
Just recently,
Mara.
John Mara did. Yeah,
John Mara recently.
Did. So
now Biscotti's
off.
Talking.
It's open season.
But I mean, they're not saying anything that's impacting the negotiation process. They're just putting out little snippets.
Yeah, well, hang on.
And the owner, but not the owner. The commissioner said what last week that it's a virtual certainty that there will be an uncapped year.
Well, yeah, that's 10. What,
yeah,
about,
right
what
now,
about the lockout? That's what we're concerned
no,
about.
No, I know. But I'm just recapping what the commissioner said, because
yeah.
it had never been official, but it will when they don't get something done by the middle of March. And so now we're talking about the potential for a lockout in 2011, which looks like it's looming as large as it ever has.
Yeah.
I mean, now you've got guys posturing.
Here's what we don't know, and I can't shine any light on this. When will they lock them out? I mean, will they have a draft? I'm going to assume they're going to have a draft because that would be in their favor to bring.
You're talking about in 2011.
But you don't have a CBA.
Do they lock them out in training camp? Do they go all the way to training camp? And this matters to me because I'd like to get a paycheck.
Hey, the important date is those February 4th or 5th of 2011.
But I thought they opted out of the labor agreement. There won't be a labor agreement, so they can't have any of those things, can they? Can they have a draft without a labor agreement?
You can listen. As long as your doors are open, the players are going to enter. All right, they're not going to stop coming. As long as they have in their contract that they get workout money, they're going to be working out. So when are you going to lock them out?
But the draft is part of the collective bargaining agreement, and if you've opted out of that, do you still have the ability? Because this is the last
year
of the draft.
They can still conduct it. I mean, will the players challenge it in the courts and get it removed? These are all things we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. All right. Thanks for the show, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Joe, so nice of you to grace the audience with a couple of brief comments this evening. We'll look for more next week.
Who's your Super Bowl pick?
Saints. Logging?
I think Colts, but I'm rooting for the Saints.
I don't know. I'm going to say Colts, but I could see it going the other way.
Here we go. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.